we are not a company that is going to bend to, you know, Nigerian regulations and all of that, because we see ourselves as fighters. We see ourselves as people who are coming to, you know, give Nigerians financial freedom and financial independence and the ability to make money for themselves through Bitcoin or P2P trading. So this is the idea for us. We're not backing down. We're not. In fact, it's an opportunity for us to come all out and let people know that there is a home for them, irrespective of what is happening with Binance P2P marketplace.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And please pardon the little break we had. I didn't come to you last week. Things have been a little crazy, but we are here today with the one and only Tochi Onya. She's coming to us live from Nigeria. Tochi is an associate for education and training for the P2P exchange No Ones. She's based in Abuja, Nigeria, to be more precise. And let me hand the microphone over to you. Tochi, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Frank. Thank you so much for having me on here and, you know, for the opportunity to throw a bit more light on the situation in Nigeria. So my name is Tochi Onya. I am an associate for education and training at No Ones. No Ones is a Bitcoin P2P marketplace and also a Bitcoin messenger application that we have in our platform. So basically what I do is education, Bitcoin education for Nigerians and particularly women, young Nigerian women in this space. We started putting up events together for women. You know, we call it Women Bitcoin Club, you know, just so we get together Nigerian women and to introduce Bitcoin to them and get them interested and enthusiastic about Bitcoin. So basically, that's the long and short about me and my work in the ecosystem. Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you for explaining. And I'm happy to hear that you are making space for women. And just to give some context for two of the things that Tochi just mentioned, one, No Ones is run by, why am I now blanking out? One of the guests on this, Ray Youssef, who was a guest of a few episodes back on this podcast. And I think the work you do sounds a bit like the work that Lorraine Marcel does in Bitcoin Dada, making space for women in the Bitcoin space. Sometimes even from what I've learned, I should say, even if men are inviting, it still feels a little bit more comfortable sometimes for women just to have their own space. So I think it's really, really important that people are doing I'll never forget what Lorraine Marcel said. She said something like, you know, when men get passionate about something, they tend to get a little like rough. And I don't think women are so much the same. Not trying to stereotype anyone, but I think space for women is a good thing. So thank you very much for your introduction. I wanted to speak with you today because over the last few weeks, I've been following what has happened in Nigeria. There's been a sharp devaluation of the Naira, which is the national fiat currency there. How are Nigerians coping with this new lack of purchasing power and the devaluation of the currency?
Well, I would say it's been tough for young Nigerians, considering the devaluation and the economic inflation, economic situation, and now the way the atmosphere is for anything cryptocurrency in Nigeria. So I would say that, you know, all of this started right back from 2017 when CBDC, the Central Bank of Nigeria, you know, they began to release, they released a memo limiting or just putting out the memo to say that they're not sure about crypto or about Bitcoin and people should be careful and all of that stuff. And then later on in 2021, they released a memo prohibiting financial institutions from facilitating cryptocurrency transactions. So anybody who was found facilitating crypto transactions via their bank account will be automatically frozen, and there'll be no way for you to reinstate your bank account again after that. Or even if you do, it's going to take a really long process. And so we had that regulation, or I would say limitation, sort of in the crypto exchanges, because then again we began to see an increase in harassments, because some people began to misunderstand the CBN memo to mean that cryptocurrency was banned, whereas it wasn't necessarily banned. It was just financial institutions were just prohibited to facilitate crypto transactions. And so because of that, some people who misunderstood that memo, you know, at some point started harassing young Nigerians who were found interfacing with crypto exchanges or cryptocurrency generally. This was also part of the things that made the youth to, you know, come out and protest during the 2020, that wasn't part of it anyway. That wasn't what happened, but that was part of the underlying situation at the time. Yes. So, and then, you know, fast forward to this year, we started have, or more like last year, you know, there was a situation where the Central Bank of Nigeria thought it needful to redesign the Naira notes. So we have different notes. Our currency has different comes in different notes, right? So we have 5 naira, 20 naira, yeah, 10 naira, down to 1,000 naira notes, right? They thought it wise to redesign the Naira notes, and of which at the time it didn't seem like a bad idea, because you know, from time to time the central bank gets to redesign the Naira bill, the Naira notes, at least once in 8 years or 10 years or 12 years, whatever. And they thought it was due for the Naira to be redesigned. And so I would say that the process wasn't handled very well. It wasn't handled professionally, and so there was it was almost turning out to be chaotic. Because in fact, that's another story on its own, an entirely different situation. And this happened early last year, before the presidential election that took place last year. So then, you know, fast forward to this year, 2023, you know, we began to see what is going on with the Naira, the Naira's strength against the dollars. And this was facilitated because the central bank decided to float the Naira. Before now, the Naira wasn't floated. The Central Bank of Nigeria, CBN, had the value of Naira versus dollars pegged at a certain price. So irrespective of the market situation, irrespective of demand and supply, the central bank had a fixed rate for what Naira is valued in the FX market. And so towards the ending of last year, they decided to float the Naira. That is making the Naira to be, the value of the Naira to be determined by the market. And when this happened, we began to see a deep plunge in the value of Naira. So at the time, we saw from 700 to, was it? We saw from 900, 1,000, and, you know, it just kept plunging and plunging. And right now, it got to a point where Naira was valued at 1,800 per dollar in the FX market. And so because CBN had already floated the value of Naira, which means that the value of Naira would you know, plunge down according to the dictates of the market. So we see at the time when in the black market, the value of Naira versus dollar was 1,800, the central bank's rate would be around 1,600-ish. So there wasn't much difference. But previously, before the Naira was floated, you know, irrespective of what the black market price is, the value, the Naira rate would be fixed at a particular, let's say, 400 or 550, depending on what the central bank is deciding to peg it at. So when it was floated, you know, everything was just going spiraling down and down, and there was no way. It seemed like the central bank was losing control of you know, of the value of Naira. So it kept going down and down. And I mean, of course, there are lots of factors that could, you know, that is determining the the downward slope of the naira versus the dollars, and you know, a lot of other things to consider. But then, you know, they thought that, you know, it was the crypto guys, the Bitcoin guys, are the ones manipulating the rate of the naira versus the dollars because of P2P. So, and you know, P2P gives you the ability to set your own rates, not particularly independently, but at least P2P gives you the ability to fix your rate at a certain percentage.
Could I just, I don't, I just want to, for people listening, I want to make sure you're explaining a lot of things that are a bit complicated, but I think most people can follow them. I just want to make sure everyone understands. We have some like sort of people who are new to Bitcoin who listen to this. P2P means peer to peer. And peer to peer, what she's referring to is a trading platform similar to the one that she works for, or like the one she works for, Nolans, where people trade between themselves. So they're not buying something from a centralized exchange. They're setting the rate for the exchange between each other. I will pay you this many naira for this much of a Bitcoin or something along those lines. Yes. Please continue. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, that's fine. Thank you for breaking down what P2P means. Moving forward, the Central Bank of Nigeria thought that, you know, it was this trader, the Bitcoin P2P traders or cryptocurrency traders were the one manipulating the rate of naira versus dollar in the marketplace. And so their first approach was to ban or put us or more like ban all crypto exchanges in Nigeria. So Binance was the first that went down, and Binance went down, and the next thing is we couldn't as access other crypto exchanges without using a VPN. So in that instance, when people discovered that they couldn't access P2P exchanges like Binance, like Nolans and the rest of them, they decided to start using VPN to access Nolans and other exchanges. And then, so while that was going on, Nigerian Twitter was, you know, agog and everything. And we then heard the news that Binance has blocked the P2P P2P section for Nigerians. And the next thing is they stopped all NGN transaction or NGN assets on Binance. And so this means that all Binance P2P traders, even with their VPN turned on, will not be able to access Binance P2P, right? So this now made a lot of people to be somewhat stranded in a way. But then again, thank God for Nolans. You know, we were glad to have all of these people on board on our marketplace, and so far it's been going smoothly. And then again, you know, the question now becomes, what is their plan, or why would they think that stopping Binance would be the solution to saving the naira? And this is a question that almost every good thinking Nigerians can answer at the cannot answer, I beg your pardon, at the time, at this point in time, because so far it doesn't make any sense as to why the government would think that it is P2P traders that are the ones, or that are the reason why the value of naira keeps, you know, going down and down. And so far with the idea or the reason behind the Central Bank of Nigeria doing what they did is still unclear, because for a lot of us it doesn't make any sense, because this is more like an economic factor that is the reason why naira is plunging downwards. Because first, to start with, Nigeria is a country that is heavily dependent on importation. This means there's hardly, there are just very few things, or hardly good amount of exports going out. So our balance sheet is not, you know, the FX there is not balanced because we are heavily depending on importations and a lot of other factors that could be the reason, that is the reason why the naira is going down and down and down. But then I guess, what they do not understand, they may try to put a stop to it. And because they see that they do not completely have 100% control to cryptocurrency generally, to Bitcoin transactions and all of that, the highest they can do is try to put up some regulations and ensure that people stop using it, of which they were able to succeed through with Binance and, you know, but then again, you know, platforms like No One's who are still standing strong, irrespective of, you know, what the Nigerian government is throwing at P2P traders and their respective marketplace.
Thank you for that tremendous overview. I really, really appreciate it. I feel like Nigerians have, what has happened in Nigeria, I feel like people there, you've had to deal with things that I think will probably come to other countries as well. So for example, you were one of the first countries that the government, where the government tried to introduce a CBDC, a central bank digital currency, and the people largely rejected it. Last I checked, adoption rates were at like single digits, like a few percent, 3-4% of the people used it. And as they tried to do this, they also did something that seemed very crazy to me, which was they limited cash withdrawals from normal bank accounts. Is that, am I correct in saying that? Okay.
You're correct.
This is unfair, is to be polite, is a polite way to say it. I feel like we have a lot to learn from the resilience of the Nigerian people continuing to push forward using crypto assets as a way. Obviously, this has very little to do with speculating. It has much more to do with day-to-day survival, having a currency with which to transact with permissionlessly. And I think that other countries around the world, and I don't omit the United States from that, will have to deal with certain some of these things at the same time in the future. So could you tell us a little bit about what it looked like on the ground when they tried to implement the CBDC, how people reacted? I understand that people didn't adopt it, but were people scared? Did they think the government was going to clamp down on them? What was the sort of emotional reaction from people? I know that they sort of reacted stoically and still pushed forward with what they wanted, but that doesn't mean it was easy or easy on the people. So,
yeah. So, first of all, the CBDC wasn't even well known to a lot of Nigerians. Not a lot of Nigerians even knew about the CBDC that the Nigerian government was working on. So that the first problem is awareness, right? A lot of people didn't even know about the CBDC. So they didn't put in a lot of PR to let people know that, okay, this is what is coming up and you know, how they can use it, or the potential of CBDC as the nickname. So that was one. And then the people who knew about it, the people who were aware about CBDCs, did not accept it because they thought it was trash, sort of. And it was just the government's means of trying to control transactions that are passing through cryptocurrencies. Yeah. And so they see that when it comes to crypto transactions, they see a lot of volumes passing through cryptocurrency transactions. And so I guess they thought that they wanted a piece of that, the flow of those transactions coming in through them. But what they didn't understand was that cryptocurrency, or let's say Bitcoin, is based on decentralization, is based on you know, decentralization. So anything that is based on control, and worst of all, control of the federal government, such as that we have here in Nigeria, it's already a disadvantage, because it is one thing to have a good CBDC in quotes, a good CBDC in quote. It's another thing for the people to accept it. Now, the next thing is, was the CBDC good, right? And it was never really, you know, put in use, right? I know at some point they wanted to, like, go back to do the, it's called INERA. Right. So yep. At some point they had to clamp down on the first version and went back to, you know, try to modify the second version, that's the INERA version 2. And even up till now, nothing good or nothing reasonable has come out of that. And so at the end of the day, it is one thing for them to give a good INERA or a good CBDC. It's another thing for the people to accept it. And I know and trust the people of Nigeria. It's not something you're going to accept, because it's too much control, and nobody wants their finances to be in such deep level of control by the government, because the whole essence of Bitcoin is for people to escape the control that the government has on finances and, you know, people's money.
Yeah. I think that that's a reality. A lot of people here don't necessarily understand. Part of it is the privilege of having a world reserve currency here and the fact that there we don't have too many issues. I mean, there are issues. Buying a house where I live is impossible for people my age. And, you know, it's not impossible, but things are very difficult. We've seen inflation and we've seen issues with money for sure. But I don't think that people here have to think as much about some of the issues there, because when you talk about things being bad because of what the government does, these things have like very real immediate impacts on people. Like inflation is more severe. And so in these cases, especially in a case where, as you just described, what you first described today, the value of the Naira just plummeting, you know, having a Bitcoin or a stable coin in that environment really changes a lot. I mean, it preserves the value of your labor, what you're doing. So it's a very real scenario. To fast forward to one other thing that I saw happening, I saw this on Twitter, but I don't know if it was true, which is another reason I want to talk to you. Was the government actually clamping down on people who were facilitating peer-to-peer trading in person? Was that happening for a minute?
Training?
What's that?
You mean training? Training?
I think I saw this happening where people were actually trying to facilitate peer-to-peer trading, like out on the street or something like that. And from what I saw, police were actually cracking down on people doing this sort of thing. Was that made up or was that like, was that real? Was that really happening?
It's not made up. Oh. I didn't see that. I didn't see that news, but it's not something that cannot happen in Nigeria.
Okay.
I know that a lot of, Bitcoiners and, you know, basically people who interact with Bitcoin a lot are usually prone to harassment by the law enforcement agencies. So I will be at danger, sort of, if I get pulled over and they take my phone and they see some exchanges, crypto exchanges on my phone. It's going to be a tough one for me, right? So people have to be careful. You know, it's just like that. But, you know, that feeling of, okay, what would happen if I get pulled over by police or by SAS and all of that? Because these people don't really understand cryptocurrency. Even because
right.
they see that the government that they answer to is not very friendly with cryptocurrency. So it just gives them the opportunity to want to harass people who are doing, who are into Bitcoin and the likes of them, because, you know, they have this notion or mentality that anybody who is into Bitcoin is probably into fraud or something. I don't know what gives them that impression. I don't blame them anyway. But, you know, that thing is there. So, of course, if the law enforcement, if people come out in mass to, you know, talk about P2P trading or to publicly onboard people to start peer-to-peer trading, so much so that it is so public that the government or law enforcement agents can see it, anything can happen, right? So at the moment, you know, people who work in Bitcoin or crypto exchanges are kind of like on a low-key, just so that, you know, nothing comes up or nothing happens to you or nothing uncertain happens. So the news you saw, I wouldn't say, I didn't see it,
okay,
but I wouldn't say it is not something that cannot happen in Nigeria.
Okay. My last big question is, how did no one circumvent being censored or shut down? So obviously Binance is a huge target. It's the biggest exchange globally, does the most volume. So going after Binance just seems easy. Like, we're going to make an example of this, of this institution or whatever. And then, you know, I guess they would sort of feel like everybody under Binance would then sort of feel scared to try to operate in Nigeria, and therefore they wouldn't do it. So how did no one circumvent this and continue to operate despite what was happening?
Oh, well, we saw it as an opportunity, actually, because, sometimes where there is uncertainties, there could also be opportunities,
yep.
right? And we are a company that is designed especially for the global south. So when we saw that, Binance was beginning to comply with what the federal government of Nigeria wanted, So it just gave us the, we just saw it more like an opportunity to give Binance P2P traders a home, right? So all we just did, or what we did was to ensure that Binance P2P traders who could no longer trade Bitcoin on the Binance P2P can import their profiles, their profile, their P2P profiles, and their feedbacks from Binance onto Nodes.
Wow.
Just so make it easy for them, so it doesn't look like they are starting from the scratch. They are starting from square one and all of that. So we decided to create a soft landing for these traders who were affected by Binance compliant Nigerian government. So we just created that soft landing such that all of the big traders, both big and small traders on Binance, can import their feedbacks, import their profiles onto the Nodes marketplace, and they can kick it off from where they started. So they don't feel like they're lost or, you know, just any sort of thing for them. So yeah, what we did basically was to create a soft landing for these Binance traders to come onto Nodes and trade, because we wanted to be their home, actually, because we are not a company that is going to bend to, you know, Nigerian regulations and all of that, because we see ourselves as fighters. We see ourselves as people who are coming to, you know, give Nigerians financial freedom and financial independence and the ability to make money for themselves through Bitcoin or P2P trading. So this is the idea for us. We're not backing down. We're not. In fact, it's an opportunity for us to come all out and let people know that there is a home for them, irrespective of what is happening with Binance P2P marketplace.
Amazing. I really I admire the approach a lot. And it seems like Ray said something to me when I interviewed him for the podcast. You know, he said he was, you know, with Nodes, he's looking for, you know, he's not looking to just hire anyone. He's looking to sort of hire the lions out there, the people who are willing to fight for this if they believe in it. So I give you a lot of credit for playing that role, because, you know, it's easy to sort of to talk about this stuff or to theorize, I'll do this if this happens, or, you know, in this hypothetical situation. It's a lot harder to operate when things are happening. And I admire the fact that Nodes have that you in particular, you know, that you're sort of sticking by your laurels, that you understand how important this is, and you're fighting for it. It's not an easy position to be in, and I admire it. Is there anything else you would like to share? Anything I didn't ask, or anything about the scenario there? Please feel free.
Okay, none. Just to conclude, to say that there's really no stopping Bitcoin, or neither is there anything going to stop Nigeria Bitcoin P2P traders. For what it's worth, we will keep growing, because Bitcoin is unstoppable, and so it's P2P. And so if one door closes, there'll definitely be another door and another opportunity for Nigerians to continue trading their P2P or their Bitcoin, basically, through P2P.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Tochi, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I sincerely appreciate it. Everybody who's listening, if you do have access to Nodes, I think everybody around the world should, from what I understand. It's one of the best P2P trading platforms out there. It's the best, in my humble opinion, but I'm just trying to, I guess, be fair. Yes. But I think it's also the best because one of the things Ray said to me, actually, and it still resonates with me, I think about it every time I choose what restaurant to eat at or buy something in a store, you know, where you spend your money is a vote. And if you're spending money on, you know, exchanges that don't have certain principles, that aren't fighting for something, well, you're not necessarily doing a bad thing by giving the money, but wouldn't you rather trade via an exchange that's really trying to do this for the right reasons? So for that reason, I will say, if you're doing P2P trading, please consider using Nodes. Ray and the team, Tochi, they're great people, ethical, you know, fighting for this for the right reasons and doing very good work. So I will leave it at that. Tochi, again, thank you so much for your time, and we'll surely be in touch.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
My pleasure. All right, everybody. Talk soon.